Cara Santa Maria, I shouldn't have to introduce her. Jenna knows who she is. I know who she is. I'm sure you know who she is. This is one of the most well-educated guests we have ever had. You're a PhD in this. You're a something else. And tell us, what are the degrees you hold?
I have a bachelor's degree, a bachelor's of science, and I have a master's of science. But I actually dropped out before I got my PhD.
Oh, would you please leave this? We don't deal with dropouts.
Right?
So, Jenna, we'll talk for a
while. We better sound smart during this interview.
Why did you drop out?
So, you know, I got my undergrad and my master's in Texas. I was studying psychology and neurobiology.
Oh, I better watch out what I say and how I act.
I'm going to get inside your head.
Yeah.
And then I moved to New York to start a PhD in clinical neuropsychology. And I fell in love with somebody across the country. So
how
I moved.
Wait a minute, you're in New York. How do you fall in love with someone across the country?
You know, we live in a global society now, and there are airplanes.
No, what I mean is, did you see pictures? You said you fell in love. So was it a photograph you saw or what?
No, I visited. I would visit Los Angeles.
Oh, so you weren't stuck in New York.
Well, no, I wasn't stuck.
You see, you may have a degree, but I've got to tell you how to explain things. You were in New York, but one day you went across the country and you met a fellow you fell in love with. See how easy it is? Okay, go ahead.
Beautiful.
No.
Stan, can you tell the story of my life for me?
Well, if you wish, let me consult my cue cards.
Wait, but you started as a singer.
I did.
How do you go from singing to neuroscience?
Oh, goodness.
I wanted to know about the guy in Los Angeles.
We'll get
back. We'll get back to that.
We'll get back
I like
to that.
The romantic stuff.
And music is romantic,
it is.
Too. And science is actually very romantic, even though a lot of people don't think of it that way. I started school at the University of North Texas, which was very close to where I grew up, in Plano, Texas. And when I was in high school, I was a jazz singer. And I put all of my energy into education and jazz.
That's what education you're supposed to put your energy into when you're in school. So don't make it sound like a big thing. But we'll get to the jazz.
Yeah, and so I studied jazz, and I really loved to sing. And that's what I always thought I was going to do in college. And I went to the University of North Texas because it's a great music school. And thought that I would end up dedicating my kind of college career to singing, and quickly realized that once it's an academic pursuit, kind of takes the fun out of it.
I totally agree. I majored in musical theater. Mm. I understand.
Yep.
But now...
I'm a guy who can't even carry a tune, and I'm listening to these two musical prodigies. How did I get stuck at this? I want to talk about superheroes, and nobody cares. Actually, you know, to tell you, I don't want to talk about superheroes.
You know,
I want to talk about you. You had said somewhere in your bio, it said that you were from North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering why you would specifically say North Texas. Do you have something against South Texas? I mean, why couldn't you just be from Texas?
Texas is really, really big.
And they tell me
that. They tell you that. At one point, it was its own country. You know,
yeah.
Six flags over Texas that came from Texas. There were six different flags that waved over. And it's funny because all people from Texas, no matter how kind of embarrassed you might be about some things about your state.
Who could be embarrassed about Texas? I was there the other day. I just got back from Dallas.
You did?
Yeah, I was there at a convention. But go ahead, tell me why you'd be embarrassed about Texas.
Well, I mean, we won't get into any...
I want to be provocative.
We won't get into politics on the show if you don't want to. Yeah.
Oh, it's the political
Rick
bit.
Rick Perry.
Right. And also for California, we say Northern and Southern California.
And that's the thing.
I guess you're right.
It's
we
so big that you have to kind of say where in the state.
I don't say Southern
from.
California. No. I say I'm from Los Angeles.
Yeah, I do.
I pinpoint it.
And which is funny because I'd say I'm from Dallas, but it's kind of disingenuous because I'm from Plano.
Well, then you just say that. Wait a minute. How many times on an interview here have you heard a guest say disingenuous? You are incredible. You are uplifting the intellect of our... You are upgrading our entire audience.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, let's drink more
absolutely.
Of these and see if that sticks.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, actually, I want to mention your tattoo, because you have a tattoo of a dinosaur skeleton, and
mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And I love dinosaurs.
I
like you. I don't know, a 3-year-old boy stuck in a 29-year-old girl's body. I'm obsessed with dinosaurs. I have the entire Carnegie collection, which are these museum quality scale model toys. They're all 1/40th of size.
Well, that's a typical feminine pursuit.
You know.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you the nerdiest thing in your house, but I don't think I have to anymore.
That may not even be the nerdiest thing in
my
house.
Oh, then,
yeah,
still.
I have a model of a brain and a skull. I have a fossil collection. Above my couch in my living room is a vintage solar system mobile.
Ooh. A guy visiting you is in for a great time, even before he starts having a great time.
Boy-friendly apartment, I think. But you know what? It's girl-friendly, too. And it's really cool when I get to meet great, interesting girls who are into the same kinds of nerdy things that I'm into.
Oh, and there must be millions of them.
Well, you know, we make friends right away. We bond over that. I think that we're starting to see more and more of that.
But why do you call it a nerdy thing? It seems to me having an interest in things, in anything, especially something scientific, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. Why do we have a rotten word like nerdy for good things?
And you know what? I get this question a lot. I actually was just emailing with a teacher.
You notice the way she said, I get this question a lot. Like, you know, Stan, you're just one of many. I mean, don't act like you're such a big shot here. People have said the same thing to me for years. Thanks a lot.
Well, I feel like I have to fight against it a little because I got an email from a teacher recently that was saying, you know, I watch your video series on HuffPost Science, which is called Talk Nerdy to Me. And he said, you know, I get it with the double entendre and it's funny and it's cute and the kids like it, but why use this word nerdy, which is kind of a derogatory term, which is a term that says, you know, we are different than. And I responded to him and said, you know, I feel like with my generation and with younger kids, we are owning the word nerdy, and we're making it our own, and we're kind of proud to be nerds. We're rebranding it, as it were. And you know, I do think that there's something to be said about nerds being different, but different doesn't mean worse. Different can mean better, you know? It's okay to be smart, and we're kind of proud about knowing things and about making that what's important to
us. You know, all of a sudden, I want to be a nerd. I mean, when it comes to dinosaurs, I spent a life trying to remember, and I'm still not sure I can do it right, how to pronounce Triceratops. How do you pronounce that? You know what I mean?
Triceratops.
Triceratops.
Which means three-horned face.
See, but if I knew it correctly, I'd have been a nerd. This shows I'm just a regular guy.
Comic books.
I hate to break it to you, Stan, but you're kind of the king of the nerds.
You are.
And I don't even have a pocket protector with a pen.
Nope.
I noticed that none of us do.
No. The new nerd doesn't wear a pocket protector.
Actually, I agree with you. I think being a nerd in many ways is a good thing. Because nerds represent technology, they represent science, they represent all the things we really care about. And when they get rid of that pocket protector, they're going to be just like anybody else.
Right. Exactly. We don't use pens anymore. Well, you know, I actually wanted to ask you about Talk Nerdy to Me. So how did this all start?
Long story, let's try and
make it a short story.
Yeah, we'll try and make it short.
Our viewers have a hell of a short interest.
I'll make this easy on you.
Bore them for 1 minute and they switch that channel.
Okay, so in New York, studying neuropsychology, fall in love with a boy, end up moving to L.A.
Wait a minute, you fell in love with a boy in L.A.? Is that why you moved?
I like the
romantic part.
Fell in love with a boy who lived in L.A., ended up moving to L.A., and when I got here, kind of realized, whoa, what am I going to do with myself? It was thinking about going back to school, but had some opportunities. You know, while I was living here, I did what I do best, which is nerd out about science.
And what did the boy say? What did he want you to do?
Well, he wanted me to be happy, and he would tell me all the time, what you do as an educator and as a scientist, I wish more people could hear what you have to say. And so in a way, he kind of guided me into basically just expanding the classroom. I always loved to teach. I was teaching in the college where I was working on my PhD. And so then I had a couple of opportunities to work on a couple of shows and basically expand the classroom. Eventually, I ended up doing a pilot for HBO that was called Talk Nerdy to Me.
That's great.
Yeah. And
wait a minute. Didn't you do that with Bill Maher?
I did that with Bill Maher.
I want to talk about Bill Maher, but we'll get to that.
I also did it with these two guys, Max Lugavere and Jason Silva from Current TV, and with Chris Hardwick who we all know.
Wow.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was really, really fun. And when I did that, it didn't end up getting picked up, but it opened up a lot of other opportunities. And then Arianna Huffington came to me and
the
said...
The Huffington Post?
Yes, at the Huffington Post, and said, Cara, dear, I want this science page. Can you help me? And she invited me to do this video series, basically the talk nerdy to me idea, but to do it online. So that's what I do now, and it's been a year.
You're competing with this show. You know that, don't you? Online?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I love them both.
I think honestly that we have a very similar audience. I think that...
Yeah, the same two people who are first probably right?
You two like comic books and science, right? I hope so.
Well, actually, I did want to ask you about the science thing. I'm somebody who watches The Big Bang Theory.
Love.
And occasionally you have guest stars on who are talking about girls in science.
Mm-hmm.
And so how would you encourage more women to get into the field of science?
Yeah, women in STEM fields is really important to me. So when you hear the term STEM, it means science, technology, engineering, and math. And
everybody knows that.
Of course. And there's a big initiative to see more women in STEM because there's a huge gender disparity. There's also a big disparity when it comes to ethnic minorities. So I also try to speak out about seeing more kind of African-American and Latino people in STEM, too. And, you know, the way that I encourage it is really just through my actions more than anything. I do kind of speak at events, and I like to talk to young girls and connect with them. And on Twitter and Facebook, I always answer every message. And I've had a lot of, you know, these great experiences where a 14-year-old girl will email me on Facebook and say, I think I want to be a scientist. Do you have any advice? And I love that, you know. And so I always kind of keep in touch with them. But for the most part, it's just to see more people in the public eye that are doing it, you know. People like Danica McKellar, for example, who's become a friend of mine, who she is a champion of math. She's made math cool. How cool is that?
I
to make math cool, you know, as a fun, young, kind of hot chick.
Yeah. No, it makes a huge difference.
I want to complain about something.
Okay.
Oh.
The next time we engage a guest.
Yes.
Can we try to get one who's articulate, who can talk a little bit? I mean, for God's sake, to watch you fumbling and searching for the right word.
I'll see what I can do.
It's not easy. Anyway, tell me about Bill Maher.
Oh, no.
I dig Bill Maher.
Do you?
Oh, man. I think he's the greatest. Why he's never had me on his show... Well, we'll get into that another time. But he is so terrific, and he is so unusual. There's nobody who says what he says the way he says it, and you know him.
I do.
Well, tell me about
it. I'll see what I can do to get you on his
show.
No,
I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding about the show. But
you
I want
to
know
him
about
on your show.
Do you think he'd come?
Yeah,
do you think he would come here?
You should have him sit right here.
Oh, wow, Bill Maher. And when I say Maher, I'm saying M-A-H.
Yep.
Is it E-R or A-R?
E-R. So what do you want to know?
What a plug we have given that. Our two viewers will go out and tell everybody they
They'll watch his show every
No, but how do you know him?
How do I know him?
Yeah. Is he the guy you flew out to Los Angeles?
Maybe.
Really?
Maybe.
See, that's the part people want to know, the romantic part.
It's the part that, and it's funny, because it's the part they probably already know. I don't usually talk about it, but it's the part that they probably already know. So, you know, I'm pretty private about my private life, but that is known. Most people already know that. So.
They do?
Yeah.
Where have I been?
It just takes a quick Google search.
All right, then after the show, we'll sit aside and you can tell me
off the record.
Because I want to be like all the other people. I want to know that.
Yeah, you'll know things. You'll know things that they don't get to know.
But now that we finished Bill Maher, What is there anything left to talk about?
There is.
Anything else would be an anticlimax?
No, I have something this won't be, believe me, because I know we've discussed this before. But I have a science question for you.
Uh-oh.
Why do men have nipples?
I've been wondering all my life.
So I did an episode of Talk Nerdy to Me. Talk Nerdy to Me is a weekly series that I do on the Huffington Post where I kind of cover all sorts of crazy science topics in a fun way. And
men having nipples is one hell of a science topic.
Right?
It is.
We decided, you know, a lot of people have that question. And what's funny is that it's one of those things that we all probably learned way back when, but most people don't remember. And so we did a whole episode about why men have nipples. And I don't know, should I give you the answer now, or should I tell people to watch the episode?
Well, they can watch the episode for the
full. What a nerve. What a nerve. Should I give it? We've been waiting for all this time.
So why do men have nipples? It's because, you know, it's funny. I think originally when we think about how to answer that question and we think inside the box, we think in the evolutionary box. So we say, well, if we are mammals and it's the female of the species that delivers the milk to young, and mammals have always had males and females as long as we've called them mammals, why would men need nipples? And as long as we think inside
that
box...
You summarized the question beautifully.
We get stuck in
the box. But I'm waiting
for
you to get outside the damn box.
So when we go outside the box and stop thinking about it from an evolutionary perspective, but think about it from an embryonic perspective.
I always do. I think about everything from yes. embryonic perspective.
It's an important view. So in utero, while we're developing in the womb, before there is a concept of maleness or femaleness, before the hormones necessary to feminize or masculinize.
Oh, they don't know if you're going to be a male or mm-hmm. female, so we're playing it safe.
Exactly. So we actually develop nipples. We all develop nipples before these certain portions of the Y chromosome turn on, called the SRY gene. So before the fetus is told to become male by its own genes, it's already developed its
nipples. So why don't females develop little testicles? Because you don't know that whether you're going to be a male or a female.
Well, what's funny is that if you look at the genital tissue of boys and girls, it's parallel.
Yeah.
The tissue can become one or the other. And you can even see certain regions are just like other regions in the male and the female.
See, and you thought this was like any other interview show.
Yeah,
I hope you're all taking notes,
right?
And there'll be an exam after it's over.
Very racy, Stan. Very racy. All right, so I have a series of some rapid-fire questions. So just tell me the first thing that comes into your head. Would you rather be a superhero or a supervillain?
Hero.
Why is that?
I want to do good.
Oh.
I think.
All right.
That's a boring answer, isn't it?
It was a boring question. It's not your fault.
Hey.
We'll talk to her later.
All right. All right. So if there was a superhero movie that you would like to see made, is there one you want to see made or one you'd like to see remade?
Ooh. Dr. Manhattan.
Ooh.
That's not... Dr. Manhattan was The Watchman, wasn't mm-hmm. it? Mm-hmm. The name of it was The Watchman, dear.
Well, I would like a movie just about Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, really? Was he the guy who walked around naked?
Yep. Blue and naked.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
naked.
We could do a whole other interview show with you about that particular subject. We'll save
about
that for next
naked
time.
Naked people.
Yeah.
But he was a scientist. He's a physicist.
Absolutely.
So that could be fun.
And naked and blue.
And naked and blue.
Okay, favorite drink?
Coca-Cola.
That's
and it's
okay.
terrible. I'm kind of addicted.
The money you're going to make from that company.
I know, right? What is your go-to party trick?
Ooh, when there's a party at my house, I can, like, name all the dinosaurs on my shelf.
That's a pretty cool trick. I think it is.
Thanks for making me feel
I'm
better.
Hey, let's all go to a party at Tara's house. She's going to tell us the names of the dinosaurs. Oh, boy, how quick can we get
that.
There?
Dan,
oh, man, but does she throw a party? She doesn't leave out one dinosaur. We'll learn every name. Wow.
But then you would know Triceratops.
I beg your pardon.
You would know Triceratops.
Triceratops.
See,
exactly.
All right.
I've warned you, this is not your typical interview show.
Okay, what supervillain or superhero do you have a crush on?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. What about you? You answer.
You have a crush on her?
I have a crush on you.
This is a totally different interview
Stan
now.
Stan Lee.
All right, that's my answer.
Boy, I thought you'd never get to that.
That's my answer.
All right, guys. Well... thank you very much for joining us.
It's over?
Sarah, it is.
I didn't learn enough about Bill Maher, but we'll get to that.
That's
hey,
off the record.
Great seeing you, Kara.
Good to
thanks
see you
for
too.
Coming.
Thanks right. for having me.
And you can have me on Revenge of the Nerds or whatever the hell that show is someday.
Talk nerdy to me.
Is that the name?
Talk nerdy to me.
Yeah. I knew the word nerd.
All right.
Excelsior.